This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. Happy Monday. I'm your host, Francisco Rojas. Phils take 2 of 3. From the Chicago Cubbies. They come in, did not look good on Friday night after the Cubs won 10-1. And then the Phils flipped the script on Saturday, winning 12-3. And, you know, Phils came into yesterday and, you know, you wanted to, I think we were all a little bit skeptical with Taijuan Walker on the mound. Taijuan Walker has not been good this year, coming off an outing where he didn't even make it out of the first inning. So a lot of us were probably skeptical. I think we can all be honest about that. And the, you know, the Cubs aren't, they're more of a rebuilding, you know, franchise, but they haven't been horrible this year. And, you know, coming into this game, you know, they had a hot start, but, you know, haven't been as great as of late. But the Phils are kind of, to a certain extent, in the same boat where they've been inconsistent. And, you know, Phils have really been, you know, up and down since the season started, really, since their bad start, since their, what was it, like 6-10 start? I forget what it was. It was, you know, the first couple of weeks of the season were not good. And, you know, ever since that first 2 weeks, they've just been up and down, up and down. And obviously you need to just get a series win. You know, at this point, you just needed to win a series. That's what you needed to do if you were the Philadelphia Phillies. And you did that. You took the win 2-1 yesterday, winning 2 of 3 from the Cubs. So let's get into it. Let's right into the key moments, just a short, and it's going to be a short recap, considering there was not much going on in this game. You had Taijuan Walker on the one side for the Phils, Justin Steele on the other side for the Cubs. Both pitched relatively well, and Walker got about 5 1/3, and what was it, 87 pitches. He was on a certain pitch count, limited pitch count. Two hits, three walks, three strikeouts. Good stat line. Like, I'm okay with it. He did his job. So let's fast forward to the bottom of the seventh. Bryson Stott with a pinch hit, 2-run homer for Josh Harrison. Big. That's all the Phils needed. Stott comes off the bench. He gets a rest day, but comes off the bench and hits a bomb to make it a 2-0 ball game. Top of the ninth. Let's go right to the top of the ninth. Again, not a whole lot happening. Christopher Morel, 8th home run of the year. That guy is just white hot, unconscious from the plate since he's been called up to the Cubs. I think that's his 8th home run in like 11 games. Guy's got a lot of talent. Guy has a lot of talent for the Cubs. So that made it a 2-1 ball game. And with Craig Kimbrell on the mound, you never know what you're going to get. So he gave up the home run. And Kimbrell, you just have no idea what you're going to get from him this year. I mean, he's been that way really the last couple of years. But thankfully, with the runner on first, Kimbrell gets Patrick Wisdom to pop out to end the game. He gets his 399th career save. He gets 400 saves as the Hall of Famer. That's a whole nother conversation. I like to mention that stuff. If you listen to my other stuff besides you know, Phillies today here, you know I'd like to talk Hall of Fame. I had to throw that in there. Maybe anybody out there think he's a Hall of Famer? Him, maybe Kenley Jansen, former Atlanta Brave there, an L.A. Dodger, now a Boston Red Sox. Are they Hall of Famers? Is Craig Kimbrel a Hall of Famer? Just curious. Just throwing that out there. But Kimbrel gets his 399th career save, one away from 400, to get a Phillies win, and they take the series against the Cubs. So, look, not a whole lot of offense in this game, but you got what you needed to get from Taijuan Walker. You got what you needed to get from the bullpen. And that's kind of – I didn't have a whole lot of takeaways from this game. But, I mean, it came down to you needed a good outing from Taijuan Walker to even have a chance to win this game, a relatively decent outing. And he gave you almost a pretty much a quality start, right? Quality starts technically like six innings, like three earned. I mean, he almost went six. And, again, they had him on a pitch count, so – you know, Walker goes almost six innings, gives you, again, the stat line, 5 1/3, 87 pitches, 2 hits, 3 strikeouts, 3 walks. Walker, you know, he did what he had to do. He did what he's supposed to do coming off, you know, his one of his worst starts of the season where he couldn't even get it out of that first inning. So for Walker to even have a start like this, definitely a step in the right direction. But now the thing with Taijuan Walker is, and we all know this, he needs to sustain, you know, good quality starts consistently over time. Now it can't just be, you know, a couple of good starts, then he has a bad start, then he has another bad start, then he has a good start, and then he has a mediocre start. Like, and that's really what the Phillies have been this year. Like, you can look at, and now look, Taijuan Walker's numbers overall are bad. And I guess, you know, Phillies are 22-24, almost a 500, but, you know, you need Walker to be just more consistent now. That's what he needs to be. It's like, okay, you gave us a good outing. I liked it. And, you know, the Cubs, like, statistically are a good offense. Statistically, they are a good offense. They're like 11th in runs scored in Major League Baseball. Like, they are a good offense. Again, Wisdom, Christopher Morel, Dansby Swanson, Nico Hoerner in the lineup. Like, it's Seiya Suzuki. It's a good lineup. So it's not like Walker you know, was facing the Cincinnati Reds and was spectacular. I mean, against any major league team, it doesn't matter. But the fact that it was against, you know, one of the better, you know, offenses in the National League right now to this point, like, that's good for Walker. It's a good step in the right direction. But I think we can all agree he has to sustain this over time, especially 4 years, $72 million. He's got to replicate more of what he replicated last year with the Mets and even the year before. So that's what we want Taijuan Walker to be that, you know, third or fourth guy in this rotation, along with it as Ranger Suarez has come back, and we'll see him in this Diamondback series in the next couple of days. So Taijuan Walker, that was, you know, we needed a good outing from Taijuan Walker. That was my first key takeaway because the offense wasn't great. And also, like, you needed the bullpen to be good too. And they've been good since Jose Alvarado's gone down. Like, you think Alvarado goes down and you're like, oh shoot, this bullpen's, well, not screwed, but, you know, that you miss one of the best arms, you know, relief arms in baseball. Like, you're thinking, oh man, the bullpen's going to take a bit of a dip, and they haven't. They've had like a 1.62 ERA since he's gone down. Like, they've been good. They've been really good. Yeah, I mean, Sir Anthony gave you 2/3, one walk, one strikeout. Strom gave you an inning. I mean, Strom has been good this year. His ERA is down to 2.73 now. Gave you a couple of strikeouts. Brogdon won 2/3. Soto just went 1/3. And, you know, Kimbrel has not been great this year. He gave up the home run. But he did what he needed to do, had the 2-run lead, gave up the home run, got out of there. The Phillies get the win. So, I mean, that's, you needed, again, you needed Walker to be good, and you needed your bullpen to be good, because Walker was on a limited pitch count. So you needed the bullpen. You knew at some point bullpen was going to have to give you, you know, a decent bulk of innings, and they did that. Okay, just one earned, Kimbrel. Kimbrel hasn't been all that great this year, but bullpen, for the most part, did what they needed to do to get this win. Offense wasn't great. Only gave you a couple of runs on the Stott homer you know, with seven hits. But again, the Phillies pitching was supposed to be better this year when it came to the pen, when it came to the rotation. Like, it was supposed to be good this year. So, like, you know, you look at the offense and say, ah, well, we like more runs, but like they did in game two. I mean, you don't need to score 12, but, you know, you're not going into every game saying, oh, well, we need the offense to be good. It wasn't like last year where we came in every game saying, like, look who's in the lineup. It's Schwarber. It's Reese. It's Harper. It's Castellanos. Like, this offense is going to be one of the best offenses in baseball. That's how we're going to win games. Like, the Phillies don't have to do that this year. The Phillies don't have to do that. You know, like, I feel like we feel more comfortable saying, like, oh, the offense can, or the our pitching can actually carry us at times. So I think that was important from yesterday. Definitely important. So those are my takeaways. You know, Walker and bullpen, and, you know, we can trust those guys to a certain extent. I know Walker is hard to trust this year, but hopefully we can trust them going forward. Okay. So series takeaways. Again, I mean, similar theme. Already talked about Taiwan Walker. Already talked about the bullpen. Those two things, you know, I've already mentioned, but those were a couple of my series takeaways right there. And then Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola having a good outing on Saturday. Like, he was good. Very good. Seven innings. Just a couple of hits, four hits, two earned, 10 strikeouts. My gosh. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's season high, but if it was, I mean, he's that was one of his better starts this year. It might be his best start. It might be, well, maybe the Houston start. Wasn't the Houston start really good? I thought the Houston start was really good too. But Nola, you know, I thought that was a big deal. I think that's a big takeaway. Again, you just need consistency from Nola. That's what we needed. Same thing with Taiwan Walker. Same thing with Aaron Nola. You want consistency out of your rotation. You want something you can trust, you know, going into every series, going into every start. Can I trust this guy to give me 5 to 6? I mean, we're in the age today. You're not going to say, oh, I want him to 7 to 8 innings. No, it's, you know, it's 5 to 6 innings. That's how it goes these days. Well, with Nola and Wheeler, maybe you can say, okay, 6 to 8 innings, but and that's what Nola gave you on Saturday. But you want to trust the guys in your rotation. That's what you want. You want to trust these guys. So, again, Taiwan Walker, Aaron Nola, and the bullpen, a couple of my takeaways from this weekend. And then just in general, you guys get it. Like, I know it's a simple theme, but taking 2 of 3, you know, coming off of getting swept by the Giants and losing 4 straight, 5 straight, really. I mean, it was 5 straight between from the Rockies, the last Rockies loss through the Giants series, and then for the first loss to the Cubs. Weren't feeling good. We're closer to the record. It was looking like you're going to have the closer to the record that you had last year when you fired Girardi, which were 22-29. But here we are at 22-24. So you're not 7 games under 500. You're just 2 games under 500. And, you know, it's a lot better looking that way. You know, instead of losing the series and maybe things aren't looking great, but again, long season, you guys all get it, long season. So Phils take 2 of 3, definitely think that's important. And again, you got the Diamondbacks coming up. You have tough series with the Braves coming up too. I mean, we know how those Atlanta Braves are. That's going to be a 4-game set. I mean, honestly, I'd just be asking a split. I mean, it's going to be hard to sweep the D-backs, especially you got Zach Allen on Wednesday, and we're going to get into that. But, you know, taking 2 of 3 to the Cubs, if you can take 2 of 3 out of the D-backs, I mean, it's going to be tough to take 3 of 4 from the Braves. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But we'll get into that later on Wednesday, or on Thursday, excuse me. I'll have you guys to preview that game on Thursday morning / Thursday afternoon. So stay tuned for that. So those were, again, you know, relative key takeaways from yesterday. And from the series overall as a whole. So let's get to news and notes. I don't really have a lot for you guys. I see that Derek Hall was transferred to the 60-day IL. So there's an update on Derek Hall. Dylan Covey, it looks like Brogdon's going to start tomorrow on Tuesday. But Dylan Covey, who was just claimed off waivers for the Phils from the Dodgers, seems like he's not going to be starting Tuesday. I know I saw Matt Gelb tweet that, but I think it's slated at least what I've seen on Fangraphs, it's slated that Brogdon is going to open, and then Covey will get those bulk of innings after Brogdon's done that first inning. I know he did that after Dustin May. I think Dustin May went down with an injury when Covey made his only appearance this year, and Covey did not pitch well. And his numbers overall for his career aren't great, but that's what they're going with. You need depth for the pen and the rotation, as Falter was sent to AAA and Alvarado went down with an injury. Dylan Covey, again, claimed off waivers. It says he's expected to pitch Tuesday night against the D-backs. He might start. So, I mean, I'm just telling you what I've seen on Fangraphs. You know, Fangraphs isn't the end-all, be-all, but I'm just saying from what I've seen from their projected starters, looks like Brogdon's going to open and then Covey could start, or Covey could come in, but Covey could start. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I'm just telling you from what I've seen online on Fangraphs and such. But, again, they aren't the end-all, be-all. But, again, this is verbatim from the Phillies website. Covey allowed 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, and 2 homers in 4 innings in relief on Wednesday against the Twins. It was his only appearance of the season with the Dodgers and his first in the big league since 2020. It's been a while. He was 1-0 with a 4.22 ERA in 7 appearances. 6 starts this season with AAA Oklahoma City. He's 6-29 with a 6.54 ERA and 72 appearances, 45 starts over a 5-year career with the White Sox, Red Sox, and Dodgers. So there you go. Not great numbers for his career. I don't know, like, why the Phils made this move for Dylan Covey, but I guess you needed more depth for the pen and for your rotation. So here he is, Dylan Covey. I mean, they've been having trouble with Bailey Falter, and they sent him down. So, and Falter was not good in his relief appearance, or not relief appearance, in his appearance with, I believe it was AAA. He was not good. He got the win, it says, but he still gave up 5 earned. So there you go. That's what it shows about the win-loss stat with pitchers. Like, that definitely makes sense. Okay, so before I go off into a rant there. Dylan Covey, again, that's really the only news and notes I have for you. Dylan Covey, Derek Hall, again, transferred to the 60-day IL. Covey claimed off waivers, possibly could start on Tuesday, or he'll come in right after Brogdon opens. So quickly, just want to take, before we preview the series against the Diamondbacks, I just want to get you guys updated on some scores around the league before we get to the NL East. So Yankees beat Reds 4-1. The Nats, or we'll get to the Nats in a second. Pirates lost to the Diamondbacks 8-3. Baltimore with a sweep over Toronto. They won 8-3. The Brewers 6-4 over the Tampa Bay Rays. Houston with a 2-0 win over Oakland, 5-2 White Sox over Royals, Cardinals 10-5 in that series finale. Texas puts up a 13 spot over Colorado, 13-3, and LA, the Angels 4-2 over Minnesota, and the Padres with a 7-0 win over the Red Sox. So let's get you caught up around the NL East, give you the scores here, then I'll take you through the standings. So the Nats with a 6-4 win over the Tigers, Atlanta with a 3-2 win over the Mariners, and in a doubleheader, the Mets win both games against the Guardians, 5-4 and 2-1 on the heels of good starts from Scherzer and Verlander there for the Mets. And then lastly, the Marlins, 7-5 loss against the San Francisco Giants. So, and then looking at the standings, Atlanta has the lead in the NL East, 29-17. Mets have played better as of late, 25-23. They're 5 games back. Miami, 24-23. The Phillies, 22-24, like I had mentioned before. And then the Nationals, 20-27. And that leads us into our 3-game set that starts tonight at 6:40 p.m., Phils against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are not necessarily a bad team this year, man. They're not necessarily a bad team. They're 27-20, second in the National League West, right above those Giants that the Phillies just got swept to just about 3 or 4 days ago. Right behind the LA Dodgers, who sit at 29-19, like they always do, in first place in the National League West. So Phil's with a three-game set with the Diamondbacks. It starts tonight just before 7 o'clock at 6:40. You can hear that game on 94 WIP tonight. Again, leading off should start, right about 6 o'clock with Greg Murphy. So Zach Wheeler on the bump against Tommy Henry. Connor Brogdon possibly, again, could open tomorrow, or it'll be Dylan Covey. Seems like Covey, again, should get a bulk of innings there in some way, shape, or form. So against Ryan Nelson for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And then Wednesday could be a tough outing, tough game for the Phils. They'll face Zach Gallen. Gallen's been one of the better pitchers in the National League the last couple of years against Ranger Suarez, and Gallen has been unbelievable this year, except for his last start. Gallen was not good. I think he gave up 5 earned in just a couple of innings. So Zach Gallen, hopefully maybe the Phils can capitalize on that, but it'll be Ranger as Ranger is ramping up to hopefully, you know, really return to Ranger form. Ranger was not good last time out. So Ranger should get the start there against Zach Gallen, but hopefully he's ramping back up to be Ranger. So, but my keys to the series, because I'm not looking forward to that Wednesday afternoon game against Gallen. I enjoy watching Gallen pitch, but I don't enjoy watching him pitch well against the Phils. We don't want to see that. But for me, you got to win tonight and tomorrow, especially like when you look at the D-backs rotation. It's not Phil, but besides Gallen, it's really only Gallen and Merrill Kelly. And then everybody else is pretty bad. Like Nelson, Tommy Henry, who you're going to see tonight and tomorrow, both with ERAs of 5 or worse, with FIPs over 4.48. So it's not, they're not very good pitchers, or at least to this point this year. So if you're the Phils, jump on Henry and Nelson and get the bats going. These are, and I'm going to get into it in a second, but these are big opportunities for Schwarber and Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner to get it going. Getting it going against, below average pitchers. Like, that is a good opportunity for them. It's a great opportunity for guys like that. But win tonight and tomorrow. Win tonight and tomorrow because you have to face Zach Gallen Wednesday, and Ranger's still trying to ramp back up and be Ranger Suarez. And hopefully he'll give the Phils a good enough chance to win on Wednesday. That's what you hope for. But Zach Gallen's an ace. He has been incredible the last couple of years. He's been great to start the season. So Phils, win tonight and tomorrow. Take 2 of 3 because who knows what's going to happen Wednesday. Gallen's one of the better pitchers in baseball right now. So win tonight and tomorrow. And you're going to need to ride the bullpen. You're going to need to ride them. Tomorrow and Wednesday especially. Hopefully Wheeler can give you 6 to 8 innings tonight. But tomorrow, Wednesday, it's going to be Ranger, and it's going to be an opener / Dylan Covey. Bullpen's going to have to be good. They're going to have to be as good as they've been over the last couple of weeks. Okay, they're going to have to be that good. So they're going to need to ride the bullpen. And the last one, again, like I said, opportunity for Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner to get it going. Those are two guys that have struggled. Yes, Schwarber's been hitting the Schwarber bombs. We love to see it. But I need that average to get back over the Mendoza line, get on base more. You have a higher average, you're getting on base more. So with that, do that. Keep hitting bombs, get that slugging percentage up, and continue to, But, I mean, I know we're getting close to June, and that's when Schwarber gets it going. We'll know he'll get it going, but do it now. Just do it now. Do it this series. And Trey Turner, I mean, I don't want to kill this into the ground, the whole Trey Turner thing, but I mean, it's hard not to just because Turner hasn't been good to start. Hasn't been good offensively, and this is just an opportunity for Trey Turner to get it going. Like, I mean, how many times are we going to say this? How many times are we going to come into, each series, each game saying, like, well, Trey Turner needs to get it going? Well, he does. I mean, like, it's Arizona. Like, Arizona has been good, but Turner has an opportunity to get on some bad pitching right now. Has an opportunity to do it. So, Trey Turner, you need to get it going as well. So, Schwarber and Turner, two big names, I think, that need to get it going for the Phils offense, especially in this series. So, that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I'll talk to you guys on Thursday, but stay tuned next couple of days. It'll be Dan Wilson, Tucker Bagley. We'll have you again for the days that I'm not doing the episodes. So, but I'll be back Thursday to preview that big series against the Atlanta Braves. So, that's going to do it for me. Go Phils. Hope you guys have a great Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.